So you might recall that we started talking about these things and looking at the timing of events from what was going on in Paul's world as he was saved and led up to the things that he was doing. And it's really a lot of stuff starts in Acts 9, and we get a lot of information as we go through Acts 9, and it can be kind of overwhelming to try to put all these things together, because a lot of times, you know, as you read this, to me it helps to get the timeline kind of down so that we understand how these things are put together. So that's why this is an older chart that I'd used before, but it and we'll add some more details to it to kind of see what Paul was doing. Now, as we go through this, after he was saved, it says in verse 19 that he took food, was strengthened, and for several days he was with the disciples who were at Damascus. So the several days that he was there is something that it doesn't really say how long he was there, but it was a shorter period of time. It could have been a few days, could have been a few weeks. It is really kind of open as far as what was going on. If you take a look, though, at verse 23, you'll see that it says, when many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted together to do away with him. So there's the many days, there's also some certain days that some versions say. The many days are probably included, actually the certain days are probably included in the many days, so talk about confusing. He stayed with the disciples, and it also, if you take a look at, compare the verse, what we just did, verse 19 with verse 23, we see that the several days that mentioned in verse 19 probably are wrapped up in the many days of verse 23, and the many days that are mentioned in verse 23 are probably the three, or perhaps the 3 years of time that's mentioned in Galatians. Does that make sense? Okay. Uh-huh, sure.
That's in my Bible.
All right, then it must be right. Your Bible speaks. Now, during these, so there's that three-year period that Paul mentions, and we have to go to Galatians to get to that. Galatians 1. And he talks about his experience beginning in verse 11. For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man. I neither received it from men nor was I taught it, but I received it through revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's just skip down a little bit. Verse 15, but when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood. And it goes along with what we just read in verse 11. Nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and then returned once more to Damascus. Now I was going to have maps that are back at the old place, so it doesn't do any good. Thank you, Marge, for the maps. But I went, maybe next week we can review the maps so we can see where this is. But Arabia, actually I was kind of in the wrong area when I was talking last 2 weeks ago. Arabia is a huge area that covers a lot of that peninsula. The peninsula that is down by the Red Sea, going down to the Persian Gulf, I think it is, and then up actually towards Damascus, but west of Jerusalem. That makes sense? Okay. So Arabia can cover a pretty good area that you need to understand where we are. So he didn't go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles, but I went away to Arabia and then returned once more to Damascus. And I believe this is within that three-year time period. Because then after the 3 years, it says in verse 18, 3 years later I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas, Peter, and prayed with him for 15 days. there, stayed with him for 15 days. So we have Paul going down to Arabia for a period of time and then traveling back into Damascus. So we don't know. Some people think he was in Arabia for 3 years with the Lord as he's training him. Some people think that he was down there for a short period of time then went up to Damascus. I kind of believe that because he talks about going to Arabia, then up into up into Damascus at that point before he went to Jerusalem. It would not make sense for him to go down to Arabia, which would be kind of, if this is Jerusalem, there's Damascus, and Arabia is actually this big area, but we kind of assume he went down to Arabia. This is about 135 miles between Damascus and Jerusalem. So he would not have gone down into Arabia and then up into Damascus only to go to Jerusalem shortly after. So he must have stayed in Damascus for a while before he made a trip back into Jerusalem. So to see Peter. Because if he were going to see Peter before, he would have traveled from Arabia to see Peter and then back onto Damascus. He didn't do that. He went up into from Arabia up into Damascus and then back down to Jerusalem. So he probably spent a number of days in Damascus before he went back down to see Peter after the 3 year time period. So again, we don't know a lot of details. Paul doesn't give us a lot of details about where he was or his travels. But we know that there was a 3 year time period elapsed from the time that he was converted until the time he went into Jerusalem and the time when he was speaking to Peter. So this, he stayed, and remember, after his conversion, he stayed in Damascus for a few days, a few weeks maybe, a certain number of days. He went down into Arabia, then back up into Damascus, and then he went into Jerusalem. So with that understanding, then we continue on here. 3 years later, I went up to Jerusalem to become acquainted with Cephas and stayed with him for 15 days, but I didn't see any other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. So he saw only James. He went to see Peter. And that kind of brings up, if you look on your little chart here, we're getting to the point, you see Acts 9:26. Paul visits Jerusalem. 9:26 says, "Then he came to Jerusalem, he was trying to associate with the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and he had talked to them, and how the Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of the Lord." Now I'm having trouble put this together. The other, in Galatians, it says that he saw only Peter and James when he went to Jerusalem. This account here talks about him a little later after he ran out of, and I think this might have been just a little bit later. Let me just read up at the top here. It says, "But Saul kept in..." I want to go before that. "For several days he was in the with the disciples who were at Damascus. Immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying he is the Son of God." This is what he's preaching while he's in the synagogues right after his conversion. "All those hearing him continued to be amazed and saying, is this not he who in Jerusalem destroyed those who call on his name and who had come here for the purpose of bringing them bound before the chief priests?" Yeah, so they know who he is, but now he seems to have switched sides and they're confounded. "But Saul kept increasing in strength." We've got a number of days now that are passing. "Confounding the Jews who lived at Damascus," still preaching in Damascus, "by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Many days had elapsed, the Jews plotted to do away with him." I believe that's the 3 years we just read about in Galatians. "But their plot became known to Saul, And they were watching the gates day and night, watching the gates of Damascus, so that they might put him to death. But his disciples took him by night, let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. Interestingly, if you read in Corinthians about all the whippings and the beatings and the shipwrecks and the nakedness, the exposure, the hunger, what's one of the things he mentions? Letting down in a basket on a wall is one of the things he's... it was a point of suffering. One of the first things that he went through, probably, is he's ministering the gospel of grace. They let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a large basket. Well, from that point now, he went to Jerusalem. That's on your... after that 3 years' time, it appears, that now he went to Jerusalem to associate with the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. Even this is, again, 3 years after he was saved. They're still afraid of him. His influence in that area was great. And he came to Jerusalem, and they were afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took a hold of him and brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road. Now, Barnabas was a kingdom believer. He believed the gospel of the kingdom, but he was helping Paul as they went on their first trip. He was also, I believe, related to Paul. And so there was a relationship between Barnabas and Paul. And Barnabas then took a hold of him, brought him to the apostles, described to them what his ministry was as he was in Jerusalem. And he talked to them and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem. So now he's got his ministry in Jerusalem, and saw what he was doing in Damascus, he's now doing in Jerusalem. Moving about freely, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. This had to have, he knows a lot of Pharisees and other people in leadership in Jerusalem. But now he's boldly speaking in the name of the Lord. So you can imagine these people must have been going crazy who were in the leadership of Israel, because now their staunch supporter and the one who was going against Christ now is preaching for Christ. That had to drive them crazy. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews, the Grecian Jews. These were people who were into the Greek culture. They weren't the Jews from Judea, the Orthodox Jews. These were the ones who were a little more liberal, the ones that embraced the Greek way of life. But they were attempting to put him to death. They didn't want to hear this either. But when the brethren learned of it, so the brothers, those who were believers in Jerusalem, heard about this, they brought him down to Caesarea, which is up. Caesarea is, remember, Jerusalem as being the high point of the land, and anything from Jerusalem is down, so you'll see down. But he actually goes north into Caesarea. If this is the Mediterranean, Caesarea is up in this general area here and includes Antioch. And then they also went into, from Caesarea, they sent him away to Tarsus. And so we have his hometown. He went up into those areas there. This is, you'll see also, Syria. Antioch is in Syria. And Cilicia. And so we have those two areas where he ends up going into with the cities of Antioch and Tarsus. So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, all the churches in this lower part, now are enjoying, finally, peace. And this is 3 years plus, because now he's been ministering in Jerusalem after the 3 years that he was mainly headquartered, going from Arabia and back into Damascus. they finally realize that they're not being persecuted anymore by this one man. If we go back into Acts 11:25, just do a quick jump over here. Acts 11:25 says that he was about verse 24. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. So we have, Barnabas, who was the man that's in mind here. He went looking for Saul, and where did he go? He went to Tarsus. He went up into this area, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And so we see that they're continuing. Paul was ministering up in this area, and Barnabas now is looking for him sometime later. This is before they go out on their, what people call their first missionary journey. So Paul, Saul, has been ministering in Antioch for probably several years up in this area. He was down for several years in Damascus, Antioch. Went to Jerusalem for a number of, we don't know, months, maybe years. They chased him out of Jerusalem. And remember that Jesus said, leave Jerusalem, get out. I don't want you to minister there anymore. He went into Tarsus and Antioch up in Cilicia and Syria. And he's ministering there, and that's where Barnabas now finds him. And it says, and he'd found him, he brought him to Antioch. And for an entire year they met with a church, taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. So, this these first 3 year period is the first section mentioned, but then we have a 14-year period later in Galatians 2:1, and in Galatians, let's just go there real quickly. It says, and after an interval of 14 years. Now, you can either stack the 14 years on top of the three, or consider this 14 years. And Richard has it right. It's, you, if you stack the 14, some people do stack the 14 on it and get a 17-year period. That puts Paul, though, in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it doesn't work out very well. It actually works out so that in 14 years from his conversion, is, I believe, what's in view here. This interview of 14 years went from his conversion. It says he went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas. And this is when he went into Jerusalem. The Lord told him to go defend what should... This is, you know, tell them what you're telling these people as you're on your trip. And it was the Lord that prompted him to go. It was because of a revelation that I went up. Verse 2. So God wanted him to share with those, the church in Jerusalem, exactly what he was doing and what he was preaching. Now, he really didn't have to do that if he was preaching the exact same thing that they were teaching and preaching. There'd be no need for it. All they would know is that you're teaching the same thing. But Paul went up, submitted to them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. But he did so privately. He went to those leaders that were in Jerusalem at that time. And if you read Acts 15, and when we get to Acts 15, we'll look at that in more detail as far as the events that went on there. Then he taught them, this group privately, the leaders of the Hebrew church. He says, those who were of reputation, for fear that I might be running or had run in vain. Not even Titus, who was with me, who was a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised as he went to the church, is because of false brethren secretly brought in. So now even there, as he's ministering again in Jerusalem, that they bring in false brethren. These are people who are not saved in order to trip Paul up. And so they were brought into the church in order to try to stop Paul from preaching the gospel of grace. So it's actually, if you add that 14 years in, we have that trip that he went to Jerusalem, and then it's about 1 year later that he and Barnabas go out on their first trip up into this area. And so they're actually the churches that were established by Paul that we just read about after he was in Damascus and around. He went back up here, remember? Now he and Barnabas want to go on a trip to see those churches, to see how they're doing. And that's what people call that first missionary journey, that when they head out, they're going up into this area. And they're ministering to churches that were started by Paul a number of years earlier. So, let's back up just a little bit. Because we see that all of a sudden it talks about in that 3 year period where Paul is brought down to Arabia. Why Arabia? It seems like a little, if you think about it, it's a little bizarre that, well, then I went down to Arabia, then back into Damascus. And Paul, all his ministry was always basically from north of Jerusalem, if you will, and over, all the way over into Rome. So this whole ministry emphasis was always in this area here. But there's a time here when God said, go down to Arabia. And he said that he went down to Arabia, and then he continued up. Which happens to be, if you take a look at Galatians 4, Galatians 4, verse 24, talking about the bondwoman and the free woman, about Sarah and Hagar. It says, this is allegorically speaking, for these women are two covenants. One proceeding from Mount Sinai, bearing children who are to be slaves. She's Hagar. Now this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. All right, so where did Moses receive the law? Sinai, which is in Arabia. Where did Paul go? Arabia. Why did he go to Arabia?
God told him to.
God, apparently God told him to go down to Arabia. I don't think he would have just gone to visit to see the sights. There was a reason he went down there. And it seems that when he went down there, that and remember, Arabia is this whole area down here. It covers a huge area. And within that is where the law was given to Moses. And it's obviously speculation that he was in the Mount Sinai area. God gave Moses the law at Mount Sinai. So perhaps how many days was Moses up on the mountain? And how many times did he do it? Twice. He was up there for 40 days. God gave him the law. Perhaps he was down in Arabia for 40 days. I know I'm connecting what God did with Moses and the law with Paul, which again seems a little bizarre, doesn't it? As we're always running from the law, aren't we? But there was a new dispensation that was basically starting up when God gave Moses the law. Wasn't that a new thing that God was introducing? It was something that was brand new. It was the beginning of Israel. It was the beginning of God's dealing with Israel as a nation. Beginning of the promise of the kingdom and so on that were given at that point. But now we have a change. And God is making that change perhaps at the same mountain, the same area that Moses was at, where he gave him the information he needed to begin his ministry. 40 days isn't a whole lot of time for God to give him all this information. And we know, though, that God came to him a number of times. And it was promised that God gave him some information on the road to Damascus, that God was going to revisit him. And it's apparent that, according to his writings, that God has been progressively revealing things to Paul along the way, because Paul's writings are adding to what he begins with. He starts with a base in his earlier books, and he grows into the full understanding of what God wanted us to understand in the later books. Well, that's because God was progressively showing him information. So it wasn't just a one-shot deal, I believe. It was a number of times. as God came to Moses a number of times, well, God came to Paul a number of times and revealed progressively what he needed to know in order to preach what he was preaching. And so that's, I believe, what we're seeing here. And there's no way to prove it. It does seem logical that that's the point where God began dealing with Paul down at Mount Sinai. Any comments on that or any thoughts? Anti-thoughts? There we go. Now we got some hands. Ladies first.
Oh, I was just wondering exactly where Sinai is because I'm looking at maps on here. So I'm just...
It's outside of Arabia where a lot of people put Sinai. At least on the maps that I looked at.
This one has an elevated map, so I'm curious whether it's inside of... Was Sinai within the promised land?
Nobody knows for sure.
Oh, okay.
Nobody really knows. A lot of people will put it, if you look at, boy, I wish I had those maps.
Do you want a map up there right now?
Can you blow it up to, well, if you take a look at the area, you'll have that peninsula that comes down. I'm a really good map drawer. Oh, look at this. You're always prepared. Oh. Good Boy Scout. All right. You see this area here?
Oh, I can see that very clearly.
All right. Put your magnifying glasses on. Coming off of the Mediterranean Sea, we have this little area here, which is usually attributed to the area where the children of Israel were wandering. And it's a little bit of a V shape. You know, it's the very top of the Red Sea. And it comes up with like two fingers of the peace sign, if you ever look at it. And so we have Mount Sinai usually or often put down at the very tip of that. But Arabia covers the area down here and into this area in here. All right, so it's kind of off to the left, which means if that is the border of Arabia, that Mount Sinai would have to be farther over. And there's others that put Mount Sinai over into Arabia farther over. So in other words, people don't know exactly probably the border of Arabia for one thing, and they don't know exactly where Mount Sinai is. Other than that, we're teaching it right now. But this stuff here, you have to understand that it says in Scripture that Arabia, Sinai is in Arabia. All right, I accept that. Man doesn't know exactly where it is, but Sinai has to be in Arabia. Where Moses was in the area where Paul went down to. So that's what I believe is important to understand. And so this... Thank you. Saudi Arabia is in that general area, but it doesn't cover...
Arabia is a political
destination. Yes. Yes.
What did you say, Rosie?
Well, Arabia is a political designation. So it may not be the same now as what it was then anyway.
The borders change, and that's why we don't know exactly what would be considered by them as Arabia. They know in general terms where it is. So you can't take the borders. When you look at a Bible map, you can't always trust exactly where the borders are. Or sometimes you'll look at where the tribes settled. Those aren't always exactly defined because there's things have changed and it's hard to pinpoint exactly where they're talking about. So you have to take it with a little grain of salt. But there are some specifics, and the specific here is that Mount Sinai was in the area of Arabia, that Paul went down to Arabia. Why would he go down there? Perhaps because he received a lot of what he understood from the Lord at that point in time, that he was with the Lord for that extended period of time, for the 40 days, getting this information about the body of Christ. Now that's, again, pure speculation. We do know he went to Arabia. We don't know what he did there. Any other questions or comments on that? He did receive this revelation from God. We just read that, Romans, Galatians 1:1 and Galatians 1:11 and 12. make that very clear. It is interesting, though, when you take a look at Saul's life, the influence of one man. Before he was saved, didn't he have a great influence? He was an up-and-coming rising star in the political system of Israel. He was the one who was taking tormenting Christians that caused almost every Christian to flee Jerusalem. Imagine that, how bad it must have been for that to happen, that these believers fled. And as he's running after them, going on the road to Damascus, you can imagine what was going on there. And having people still terrorized by Saul 3 years later. As he goes back to Jerusalem, they still don't trust him, even though he's been preaching the word for 3 years. And it's these things that he really had a great influence on Christians. This also did spread the gospel of the kingdom. Remember, they were preaching the gospel of the kingdom at this point. They were spreading out because of they were afraid of Saul. And so that gospel of the kingdom was being preached and spread out even after Israel had lost that soon opportunity of the kingdom to come in. So that had changed how God was dealing with Israel, but yet the gospel of the kingdom was still being preached because they still needed to hear the gospel. They just wouldn't have the kingdom come in as soon as they thought it would happen. That influence then continued as he was saved, and God used him, turned him around 100% to use him for his glory and honor, which is an amazing story of how God can take and use somebody in such a way and be able to his influence today, as you see throughout history, people trying to stamp out Paul, people trying to get rid of Paul, people not understanding what Paul is all about, and we're still having issues with that. I believe Satan wants to cover up the truth. Satan doesn't want us to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord, does he? So why wouldn't he cause these problems in understanding of who Paul was and what his message was?
But the good news is once we're raptured, Paul will be the thing.
He's the guy. He's the man. Got to wait for a while, though, it seems.
Then all of a sudden everybody will say, Paul is right. He's...
Yeah, he's,
then it'll be the kingdom.
Exactly.
Yes.
And we'll be teaching the saints that didn't catch on as soon as we did. You know, that's... no, that's... Well, I don't know how that's going to work, but... people who have put... They have disrespected Paul for all ages. Back to the Galatia, did they accept Paul? At first they did, didn't they? But then what happened? Yeah, they turned their backs on him. They didn't want anything to do with the teaching. They were still believers. But the believers said, no, I'm backing away from this. I want to add some law into my practice and understanding. And as Paul gets to the end of his life, he says, all those in Asia have left me. And so we've got people that it's just showing what's going to happen in the future, it seems, that we're going to have people that drop away from Paul's teaching, and that they are doing it, well, they don't even approach Paul's teaching. They don't really know how to handle it because they're trying to put Jesus' teaching with Paul's teaching, and they know there's a problem there. That's why they have to get rid of Paul, because obviously Jesus is the man that we need to follow. That's where their problem is. It's not the earthly Jesus we follow, it's the heavenly Jesus.
Well, isn't that exactly what's happening today with us? We try to reach somebody, you know, with Paul's message, and it's rejected most.
That's very difficult because the tradition of men take over, and the tradition always goes back to the earthly Jesus, it seems. And so you're fighting that tradition that that people have. Any other questions? Tea time coming up. So, oh, Mary, you're going to make us late. No.
Well, it's right in the beginning. You know, Eve didn't believe what God had said. It's always them, not believing what God said.
That's absolutely, it's turning away from the truth, often to follow the men instead of God. You know, how many people have heard this from the pulpit, and so why should they believe something that's odd that contradicts their pastor. That's the problem.
Well,